by a single individual. Now, it's also very important to notice that the Romans did not embrace the idea of equality. There was a distinction built into the system between patricians and plebeians. The Romans understood rank, distinction, hierarchy, deference. Eventually, the Romans built a system, and we'll pursue this in later lectures, that left virtually all citizens with virtually identical rights. Some modest differences, but fundamentally, virtually everyone had the same rights. But elements of hierarchy, of discipline, and of deference and of differentiation remained crucial. Now, the early years of the Roman Republic then beg interesting questions about who are the people who get to participate. What does this mean? If you're going to have this freedom in the Roman system, who are the people who will be free, who get to play in the Roman game? Two basic mechanisms drove change in the early years of the Roman Republic. And again, I invite you to reflect a little bit on what we've seen in the Greek world, for instance, where, again, we know a good deal about the processes of political change there. Poor plebeians wanted land. They wanted debt relief, and they wanted published laws. Well, these are exactly the issues that we've seen in the Greek world. Poor farmers want some stability in their life, and they want public law as opposed to the arbitrary rule of individuals. Rich plebeians, on the other hand, want access to public office. They want access to public opportunities and to forms of participation increasingly reserved to the patricians. I shouldn't say increasingly, initially and fundamentally reserved to the patricians. Something else began happening very early in Rome's history, and this is a theme, again, which we'll pursue in a little bit more detail in some of our later lectures on Rome. Rome began to contend with its neighbors. Again, the legends, the early stories of Rome make this very, very clear. Scholars have fashioned the doctrine of expanding defense as a way of explaining Rome's military activities. Again, in later lectures, we're going to see the Romans virtually conquer the world on the basis of this theory of expanding defense. Put in simplest terms, expanding defense means this. The next village over might one day attack me. Therefore, I will attack it. Not because they have attacked me, but because they might. Now, that's a bit too cynical, because the Romans really would have said that the gods will not bring us victory in any offensive war, but only in a defensive war. So what the Romans would do, and it is very interesting to watch how meticulous they were in contriving this in their way of telling stories, is they would pick a fight in such a way that the other party would indeed offend them. And then they would destroy the other party. But the point is that slowly but surely, Rome began to conquer the other villages on the plain of Latium, and then slowly the people lying beyond. You either capture, you neutralize, you destroy. In one way or another, you sort of beat down your neighbors. Now, and again, this is what we saw in the Greek world. As the Romans were more regularly at war, as the Romans were more regularly in contention with those who lived around them, a larger and larger portion of their population had to be drafted into this military service. By draft, I just mean drawn in. There was no Roman draft. In principle, every Roman farmer was a soldier. You see? Now, if the people are going to be asked to go out and fight and die, then the people have certain political aspirations or certain political grievances, then the people are going to demand opportunities. And they're going to exchange those opportunities for their military service. This is precisely like what we see with the transition from the aristocratic man on horseback, the warrior of the Iliad, to the hoplite phalanx in the Greek polis. And the story was told there very much the same way. Well, the Roman plebs did something rather clever. Several times, they seceded from the Roman state. I mean, that was the formal description of what they did. In effect, they went on strike. And they said, we will not serve unless certain concessions are made to us. Now, slowly what began to happen as a result of these concessions, what are we talking about? We're going across the 5th century BC. In other words, the early decades of the existence of this Roman Republic, theoretically in legend founded in 509. The plebs organized